What's up? This is Movies On Up discussion episode. Our favorite monster movies based on a true story. I am Dave, joined by my monstrous co-host, Ryan.
That's me.
That's Ryan. I'm Dave. We're Movies On
I'm
Up.
I'm a monster.
This is our discussion episode, our favorite monster movies. Tagline, based on a true story. If you know what that tagline is from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, twitter.com@moviesonup. Facebook.com/moviesonup or moviesonup.com. Let us know. And if we pick you and you're right, you get a prize pack. A monstrous prize pack.
Hint, hint, hint.
In honor of Pacific Rim releasing this weekend, we decided to do our favorite monster movies. We've had this list known for a while. Usually they're last minute. This one we knew for a while we were going to do favorite monster movies.
But I still only put any effort into it last minute.
We'll talk more about that. Before we get to our monster list, it's time for bonus list. These are the top five movies with Monster Magnet on the soundtrack. Number five, Torque. You like motorcycles? Try Torque.
Do you like Adam Scott in a movie about motorcycles?
Number four, Bride of Chucky. Number three, Urban Legend. Number two, The Girl Next Door. And number one, Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. The movies that choose Monster Magnet on their soundtrack are about on par with the quality of Monster Magnet music.
I'm relatively sure that I put Talladega Nights number one, or maybe it's Torque. One of these movies, I think it might be actually be Torque, Monster Magnet appears in. They are uncredited.
That sounds.
I think it's Torque. They're playing in a biker bar or something.
Yeah, that sounds like Torque.
Yeah. How good is that movie? Monster Magnet, Dane Cook.
It's probably the same song on all five of those soundtracks.
Are you inferring they only have one song?
Yeah. How did your list go? You wanted to do this. You said like 2 months ago when Pacific Rim comes out, let's do favorite monster movies.
Oh, man. So I feel like I should have a better list than what I do have.
What was your cry? I sent you a text saying aliens shouldn't count.
Yeah.
So like eliminating like Predator and... Or eliminating, like, Alien and Predator and stuff like that.
I had in my head that I couldn't do Alien or Aliens because they don't take place on Earth. But I was thinking, I got stuck in thinking about Alien movies on Earth, like Predator. Like, one of the ones that came to mind first was Critters. I love that movie, but I can't do Critters because they're aliens. And then I honestly got
that one skipped my mind. Although the first one, yeah, that they play up the alien aspect of it.
You've got intergalactic bounty hunters that keep showing up. I just kind of got stuck in this. Every movie I could think of was aliens that had come to Earth and I couldn't use. Cloverfield was an example that I gave in our texts.
I said Cloverfield could count because it wasn't blatantly spelled out. It was assumed, but I meant... No Predator, no yeah. Alien, like none of these that are blatantly aliens, where Cloverfield I wouldn't have had a problem with. I mean, I don't like the movie, but if you wanted it on your list, I would have let that slide.
And I couldn't have, because I feel like I do know that that's an alien. You know, Attack the Block was one that those were aliens I like, but we can't use because they weren't monsters. So I really had... For probably about the first half of the day when I was driving around trying to think of my movies, I had a tough time. And then I kind of started to cheat and things got really easy.
I list whatever I could think of and then I try to eliminate them. This one, I think Ryan and I always think this every week and we never have it. I feel like there's going to be a little bit of crossover. But in order to avoid that, I eliminated personally from my list your classic monsters. No vampires, no werewolves, because I had a couple werewolf movies on.
Interestingly enough, that's how I built my list. I said, okay, this is my favorite werewolf movie.
Yeah.
This is my favorite vampire movie.
Because honestly, I came up to Ginger Snaps, which it was brought to my attention by listener Jason West a few weeks ago. That was omitted from my favorite lady movies, like my favorite female duos.
Sure.
I don't know how I missed that one, because I love Ginger Snaps and Ginger Snaps 2. So I was going to throw it in here, but then I thought, no, I don't want to do werewolves. I don't want to do vampires. I don't want to do anything else.
That's so, all right. I got your back. I did
figured because one of my favorite movies that would have been number two on my list eliminated because of that, but I think it's on your list also. So,
yeah, I think it is.
Enough talking about how we got to our list.
Sometimes that's the most interesting part of my list.
Let's get into our list. Ryan, you're number five favorite monster movie?
My number five, like I said, I did it in my favorite werewolf movie, my favorite vampire movie. This is not a werewolf. It's not a vampire. It's a creature. I was kind of thinking, okay, what's Creature from the Black Lagoon? But that's not really my favorite. And I don't even necessarily even like it. But I do legitimately like Wes Craven's 1982 Swamp Thing. That came to mind pretty early on in my thought process. And Swamp Thing's not really the only monster creature in the movie. He battles some, too. So I thought, oh, boy, this is even better. I didn't know that Swamp Thing was a comic. The first experience I had, first exposure I had to Swamp Thing was this movie. And I thought it was really kind of neat. I never, when I was a kid, I mean, this movie was made 2 years before I was born. But, you know, you think of comic books and you think of just superheroes. And I guess Swamp Thing kind of is a superhero. He's a do-gooder. But, you know, he doesn't wear the cape. And he doesn't have necessarily superpowers. He gets his abilities through a horrible accident in the lab and exposure to swamp water. But I like Wes Craven's a lot. This is a bit of a, I mean, it's not a slasher, which is kind of what he's known for, but it still does have kind of that. I mean, it was borderline scary when I saw it as a kid. There's some pretty decent kind of gore and effects in it. And I just thought it was a really, really neat movie. For creatures, it fits the bill as it's not a werewolf, it's not a vampire, it's a creature. So, yeah, Swamp Thing, number five.
That was almost my honorable mention, but I eliminated it. Didn't expect it to show up on your list, to be honest with you. My number five, this is the only one that's really out there. It's an Irish movie called Isolation. It's just about a dude who has a farm. He's having trouble. A scientist asks him to run some experiments, so he does it so he could take the money. You wouldn't have a movie if something didn't go terribly wrong. So it's basically just the creature is a mutated cow fetus that can also infect humans. It gets really dark. Like, you say cow fetus monster, and it instantly sounds like a comedy. No, it's a dark, dark movie from the very beginning before you even get into the horror element. It's a dark movie. And it's cool because it's one of those that it's such a small cast because it is so isolated. Like, the name Isolation fits perfect. They're just out there on a farm in the middle of nowhere. But yet it has feelings of like The Thing where, yeah,
it can infect people.
It's a small group of people, but if they don't stop it there, it's going to get bigger. So it's just a really cool movie. It's really dark and gross, and just the monster's small, but it can do more. It's a really cool movie called, it's just Isolation, a little Irish movie.
Irish ditty. My number four, it comes from Ireland. Well, it doesn't come from Ireland, but it comes from the United Kingdom. It is a movie that we have talked about before. It is my favorite werewolf movie. It's Dog Soldiers by Neil Marshall. I feel like we talked about this last October in one of our Halloween episodes. I don't remember which one it was, but Neil Marshall is a guy that we both like his work quite a bit. They are doing a sequel to this. I think it's supposed to come out sometime next year. It is kind of a horror comedy, but a little bit lighter on the comedy. Pretty gory and kind of a, I mean, it's a neat spin on a werewolf movie. I mean, kind of the ones that come to mind when you think of werewolf movies are obviously Ginger Snaps was one of the first ones I thought of. You know, there's The Howling. There's quite a few of those. The Hunger.
American Werewolf.
Yeah, and I didn't want to put American Werewolf in London
we've
on.
We've talked about it so many times.
Yeah, and we've talked about it so many times. It's probably never made any of our lists.
No.
But again, it's one of those things that I know we've talked about Dog Soldiers, but I still feel like there's probably a better chance that people haven't necessarily seen that yet. So if I mention it again as opposed to The Howling or anything else that you know you've already seen, and I eliminated Twilight, that doesn't count, despite the fact that I love those werewolves. So that's it. My number four is my favorite werewolf movie of all time, Dog Soldiers.
It's a good movie. I love Neil Marshall. He's got that vampire movie coming out that'll be pretty awesome.
Twilight.
Curse of the Demeter.
Yeah, it's when Dracula
Cruise was, of the Demeter, whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's vampire on the ship that took him from Transylvania to London, I think.
Yeah. So my number four, Ryan's number four was his favorite werewolf movie. So for my number four, I thought, what is my favorite movie about giant worms underground? It is Tremors with Kevin Bacon. It's a B movie. It kind of reinvented B movies at the time and gave them a kind of a mainstream appeal because of Kevin Bacon's bankability at the time. But it's actually, there's a more to it. Like, it's really good. I mean, it's scary because you can't be on the ground. Anywhere you're at, they can get you. And so there's that fear, and some of the stuff they do to get around that is really cool and interesting. And then some of the ways they defeat the worms are cool. Like, the last death, I think, is awesome. Like, that's an awesome idea. And it is kind of thrown in that B category, that B horror movie category. And I think it's better than that. I think it kind of legitimizes that label, though, because I do think it's a legitimately good movie that maybe people have, you know, maybe the TV show soured it or the following
sequels. I think that's it. Looking back on Tremors, I don't think it was a B movie at that time, but with everything that's been attached to it, I think it's kind of weighed down by the albatross of everything Tremors that came after it. Yeah. And those, without a doubt, were B movies. But yeah. No, I do. I like Tremors. Legitimately, I like that movie.
It's a lot like Isolation, but I mean, you had a lot. Isolation, the cast is way smaller. Tremors, you have a little bit of a bigger cast, but they're all just in this town in the middle of nowhere. I really like this movie. I haven't watched it in a while, and before I even started thinking about this list, I've just been craving like to watch Tremors again. And then it came to this list. It's like, oh, yeah, I want to put that on there. So it's actually a really good movie, and I think it holds up pretty well.
I think it does. And I feel like, the Tremors were practical. So that always helps things when the effects are done practically. They tend not to age as quickly as, you know, CG or, you know, whatever the equivalent would have been in the 80s, I feel like, when that came out. But I also feel like this was a bit like Dog Soldiers. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's very self-aware. You know, the fact that... Who was the guy, the main guy, not Kevin Bacon?
There was Kevin Bacon, there was Fred Ward, and Michael Gross.
Yeah, it was the guy that had, you know, already kind of been the Tremor Hunter, and he had the video game, like the Tremors video game. Or maybe this was the second one that I'm thinking of. But I can remember like a Graboid cabinet video game, and I was like, man, I want to play that. That looks awesome.
Yeah, it also had Reba McEntire.
Oh, who could forget?
And a young Ariana Richards from Jurassic Park.
I think I remember seeing that when I was, I don't know why we were talking. I know the kid ended up in G.I. Joe or something.
Yeah.
That had come out that same week. So I ended up looking also at what she had done. My number three is my favorite vampire movie. And this is one where I can absolutely see there would be some crossover. So I had written down two just in case you got to it before I did. But since you haven't, I'm going to roll the dice on 1987's Near Dark, directed by Kathryn Bigelow. You see what she does now, and to see it is a vampire movie. It's about...
It's not your tradition. It's a different
I feel like this
it.
Is like a vampire romance done correctly.
Yeah, there's a lot.
It's
to
like
this
a
movie.
Twilight for adults.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. I mean, she's an awesome director, and this was such a different take on everything. And Adrian Pasdar, and like
Lance Henriksen, Bill Paxton. It's a good cast.
Yeah, it's just a really good movie. Your backup, was it Lost Boys?
Yes.
Yeah. See, if I'd have had one of the two on my list, would have been Lost Boys, because I like it more than After.
I mean, to me, I think they're both about the same. I had such trepidation picking between the two, but that's what I thought. Well, let me just see if Dave takes it out of my hands for me. But I think specifically I wanted to mention Near Dark. I feel like with the Coreys and with Jack Bauer, maybe people know about Lost Boys, but maybe they don't know about Near Dark. And with the amount of success that Kathryn Bigelow is having in her career now, I think it's really interesting to go back and look at her do a genre picture. And she did a really good job. And again, like the special makeup effects in this are really kind of neat. Definitely worth checking out. It's from 1987, starring Bill Paxton.
My number three, a little movie I try to mention any chance I can. I brought it up in honorable mention for our one location movies. I brought it up in movies I wanted to see remade. It was my number one. And if we ever did a Deep Sea Monsters movie, it would be my number one. Spoiler alert. Is Deep Star 6. It's a movie that seemed to be forgotten. It came out around the same time as Leviathan, Near the Abyss. There were just a bunch of underwater monster or happening movies at that time, and Deep Star 6 kind of got lost in the shuffle. It's a really good movie. I stand by that. Like, it's not, the effects are okay, and the characters are good. It similar to Sunshine, which is one of my favorite movies ever, where, yeah, you have a smaller cast, so you get to know everybody so that when they die, it means something. And so many horror movies lack that now, to where somebody dies and we just move on. Deep Star 6, the deaths matter because you know, and it's not just about, oh, we got to get away from these monsters. It's, what do these monsters do to us as humans? And where Miguel Ferrer, his character, is awesome because that's that, oh, he's just as
bad as the monster.
He's just as threatened. He's just as much of a threat as these monsters. And it's just a really cool movie. Like, it was the only one undersea that really came to me. Like, I liked Leviathan enough, but nowhere near. I don't think Leviathan holds up to time. I think this is still a good movie that I think I'm the only one that's seen.
You might be, despite the fact that you do tend to bring it up quite a bit. I think you're on to something when you talk about the deaths matter, because there is an element of character development, which I think, especially with British movies, it seems like you get a bit more in. And I you see it a lot in the 80s with the American, if they're slashers or, you know, pick whatever subgenre you want, if it's the camp movies, whatever, the characters are disposable. The reason you watch the movies is more for the killer and for the kills. You yeah. don't, you may not remember, you know, Kevin Bacon was in Friday the 13th, but you probably remember him getting an arrow through his throat as he's boning.
Just like Johnny Depp's death in Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right. I mean, these are, I think they're more iconic than the characters are. And, I mean, Johnny Depp's was really cool.
Yeah.
getting swallowed by the bed and puked up all over the ceiling. I mean, visually, that's really, really neat. But, you know, nobody remembers Johnny Depp's character. I think it's very easy to forget, you know, who the characters are. But in British movies, you know, you do. And I think that adds to the suspense. When you legitimately don't want something to happen to a character, when you watch a Friday the 13th movie, you're just waiting for these people to get killed.
And that is, I've said that forever, that British horror movies make use of the characters better. Like, look at Shaun of the Dead, isolated, small cast, but, like, even Sean didn't like Bill Nye's character. But yet, when he dies, that's impactful. Like, that's a huge thing. And then the mom, and, like, you like all the characters. Even their, like, throwaway zombie movies, like something like A Devil's Playground with parkour zombies. I mean, even then, there's that human element that, okay, the girl's best friend, like, betrays her. But then, as soon as that girl's best friend dies, like, yeah, she just betrayed me 20 minutes ago, but we still have all these years, so it still means something. And Deep Star 6 brings that a lot. Like, the first death you feel, and it's before the monsters even show up. It's just so, and the deaths are cool. Like, there's really cool deaths in it.
You can have, you know, cool
you
deaths
both.
And character development. Yeah, but I think it's much easier to just write a cool death. That's more visual.
I'm going to do a whole episode on Deep Star 6.
Maybe that's a great one to have a discussion episode on. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Yeah, there is a movie coming out that has monsters from the water. It's Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
It's this week. So if we were going to do a Deep Star 6 episode, this, I guess, would have been the week to do it. Maybe we can do it when Pacific Rim 2 comes out.
Yeah.
Atlantic Rim.
Yep.
Whatever. So my number two now, I guess. That's where we're at, right?
I believe so.
Okay. My number two movie is my favorite mummy movie of all the time. Of all of the times.
All the times.
All of the times.
All the times
put
on
together,
the planet.
All of the times and all of the mummy movies. This reigns supreme over all of them. It's Bubba Hotep. That really shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, how many mummy movies are there? Ah, mummy? There's that
Mummy Returns.
Yeah, there's the Brendan Fraser franchise.
The Mummy, Curse of the Dragon Emperor.
Sure.
Oh my God, that's the actual name, isn't it?
Yes.
I was trying to make up a random title. That was actually it.
No, that was it. They're redoing the Mummy. Which would probably
modernizing it.
Yeah, which would probably suck too. You know, there's the old school Mummy, which I like well enough for the Universal stuff, but
one of the off topic. I'm trying to remember.
I think I'm pretty well off topic already.
One of the anthology movies, in that rash of early 80s, late 80s, 90s.
Like Creepshow thereabouts.
One of them had a decent zombie. Jason West, I know you know what I'm talking about.
Like Continuity Police, Jason West.
Yeah.
Get on the case.
One of them has a pretty decent mummy story in it.
Is it VHS 2?
No, it's not. But no, because anything decent in that would be a shock. But. Mummy, it's a weird one because how scary can they really be? If you can make a mummy scary, that's an accomplishment. But Bubba Hotep, it's just a cool movie.
Yeah, they didn't really try to make the mummy scary.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funny in the way that it preys upon its victims. It's absolutely a horror comedy. It's done by Don Coscarelli, who I really do enjoy his work, and I also happen to be kind of a honk for Bruce Campbell, who I think there's absolutely some roles that he was kind of born to play, and it is an Elvis impersonator, absolutely born to play that role, and he did really, really well.
I always thought Ossie Davis was born to play JFK.
So did he. They died him like that. But, I mean, you talk about character development. Essentially, you know, these guys are in an old folks' home. They're completely broken down. And there's a mummy that's loose. It's sucking the life force out of members of the old folks' home. And it's doing it in an old folks' home because it'll never get caught because, they're old. They're going to die anyway. What's the big deal? But, you know, they become sort of like a buddy duo, like a tandem. And I don't want to spoil anything, but the end of the movie pulls at your heartstrings a little bit more than you would think that a comedy about an ancient mummy that devours souls in the way that it does.
I enjoy that movie.
I enjoy it as well. It's my number two. I don't know, my number two monster movie, favorite mummy movie.
My number two favorite monster movie. I'm going to go to my favorite Neil Marshall movie so far. Ryan mentioned Dog Soldiers
sure
earlier.
And I mentioned how much we like his work.
Yeah, and mine, I thought this would be on Ryan's list, but I'm going to assume it's not his number one.
No.
The Descent. If you don't know what you're getting into, you don't know it's a monster movie until about an hour into it. It's a slow buildup, but it's still terrifying. And then the monsters come, and it's like, okay.
You think it's bad enough without monsters, yeah. And the situation does suck.
Yeah, without monsters. And then you throw in monsters who Neil Marshall always envisioned as just cavemen that never left the caves and have evolved over time to survive. It's just, they're like agile cave creatures.
Can't
blind.
See, but they don't need to because it's dark.
It's just such a good movie, and this is another one of those. You're set up that, okay, these are great friends. You know, they go every year. They go on a trip together.
Spelunking.
Yeah. Your main girl went through some stuff a year ago. Like, this is all set up in the first 10 minutes. And then, so you're at a point where, every death matters. Again, like, when they die, you feel it because the characters feel it. And it's not just, we have to survive. It's, oh, my God, my friends are dying. So It addresses that perfectly, and there's some really good scares. The first time you see one of the cave dwellers is just a legit jump scare, and it's just a really good movie. Again, who's our biggest enemy? The monsters or Juno?
Or our friends.
So it's just so cool, and there's a lot to it. And again, like all my movies here, they're not just your throwaway. I don't think any of these are just disposable, throwaway monster movies. I think there's some depth to all of them, which I didn't really expect.
But, I mean, there again, it's depth. It's Neil Marshall, a British guy. That's where you get it from. My number one monster movie of all time, my favorite monster movie. Really, I mean, it's legitimately one of my favorite movies of all time anyway. And it had to be number one based on how I did my list. You've got a creature, you've got a werewolf, you've got a mummy, you've got a vampire.
Before you even say it,
yeah,
did I not text you and say, this list is probably the easiest one to know what our number ones are going to be?
Well, I mean, in fairness, I honestly didn't know what my number one was going to be. But then when I started putting my list together, I thought, okay, this points very easily for me to put Monster Squad at number one. Because again, I legitimately love this movie. And having to try and break away from Aliens, I started thinking of the classic Universal monsters. And they're all in this movie. You've got the Wolfman, you've got the Mummy, you've got Frankenstein. I didn't bother putting my favorite Frankenstein movie on here because
Mary Kelly or Mary Riley, whatever that Julia Roberts joint was called.
Yeah. But yeah, Monster Squad. I love Fred Decker. Quite a few of his movies are some of my favorites of all time. Interestingly enough, this movie also written by Shane Black, who did Iron Man 3. So it's, you know, he's still relevant. Most of the actors you never heard of before, you may never hear of again.
Except for John Neese. He was in Napoleon Dynamite.
Or, Jason Hervey is kind of the one that sticks out for me. It's the brother from The Wonder Years. But that's about it. It's one of my favorites from my childhood that I can still watch. And I'm amazed. I love to watch this movie with people that have never seen it before because I talk it up so much, and usually when you do that to a movie, it kills it. But I don't think I've ever had anybody watch this. Maybe they're just too nice to tell me, but I've never had anybody watch this movie and be like, man, that sucked. What the hell were you thinking? They're all like, that's kind of a cute movie. I like it.
And it holds up. It's another one those that it holds up. It's from 87, but I'm going to watch it with my kids at some point.
I can't wait to irresponsibly impregnate about six women so that I can watch it six times with children. Great.
And this is the one that I said earlier, once I eliminated your classic monsters,
yeah,
this would have been my number two. And I sent you a text saying, we both know what our number ones are going to be. Like,
yeah.
If you've listened,
I knew what yours was.
Mine was easy.
Yeah.
Yours I thought was easy.
When I was able to shift my thinking, I think it became easy. But when you sent me that, I honestly had no idea what any of my movies were.
But yeah, Monster Squad, it's awesome. It's just such a good movie.
It's the Goonies with monsters.
What's
not to like?
It's amazing. It's awesome. It still holds up. There's been talk of a remake for a long time that would get ruined in the process.
Probably. Like, it's not needed.
If somebody wanted to do it right, I'd give them a chance.
If Fred Decker and Shane Black wanted to do it, all right.
Yeah, but it's not needed. My number one, it's a top five movie ever for me. I try to mention it anytime I can. There's talk anytime
there's
it comes
up. There's talk of a reboot? Is that what
it
is now?
Yeah, there's talk of a reboot with Seth Graham Smith driving the wheels. You don't drive wheels. Driving the bus on it.
Turning the wheels.
It's 1984's Gremlins. I just could not put this on my list. Like, I try to...
Could not.
Whatever, yeah. I try to not be predictable on my lists, but I couldn't. I had to. Like, you think monster movies, and this is... It's a monster movie.
It sure is.
They're definitely monsters, and we never said singular monster.
And that's when we were having our discussion. I said, can it be multiple monsters like Gremlins? Because that was my passive-aggressive way of saying, gee, Dave, are you going to put Gremlins on your list? And he was like, yep, no, that's cool. You can have multiple monsters.
Here's my Isolation was my fifth one. That's one monster.
Yeah.
Tremors, there were, I think, three of them.
Wow.
Deep Star 6, I think there were three of them. The Descent, there were a ton of.
Wow.
The Gremlins, lots of. So everything about this movie, I love. And it was hard, honestly, not to put Gremlins 2, the new batch, on my list because it'd be on above a few of those. It might be my number two, but I refuse to do that. But I love it. Everything about the Gremlins, everything about, you know, just how it was made. It's so, the comedy is done so, it's so funny, but yet it's also pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, there's legit scares in there. Like in the sporting goods store at the end, the climax against Stripe. Stripe's evil. Like, that's scary. Like, you're in this store. You don't know where he's at. And Even the first meeting with the mom when she meets the gremlins, that's terrifying. Like, she walks into her kitchen and there's these green things. Like, there's legit scares. But then you get to the bar scene, you get to the caroling scene. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious.
They can be funny and scary at kind of the same times. Having Gizmo in there as a kid, like, you're so drawn to that character and he's so cute. You don't really care. Like, at no point did I think Phoebe Cates or Zach were in any kind of, they're fine. Like, these things are so little. I know there's a bunch of them. Maybe you could get overwhelmed, but they're going to be okay. But Gizmo, you're like, man, if he runs up against Stripe, that's not going to end well for him.
Yeah, I just, because I mean, and just Dante is so perfect for this movie. Like, yes. This is the epitome of a Joe Dante movie. This is everything he does well on Showcase, because it's, I mean, he's funny. He knows comedy. He knows horror. And this is a perfect blend of the two. And what's rough is it's rarely mixes. Usually when it's horror, he's focused on horror. When it's funny, he's focused on it being funny. And there's not a lot of crossover between the two, where a lot of your horror comedies are funny at the same time they're scary, which is great. Like, that works, but it does lose a little bit of it. Like, but Gremlins is just, when it's scary, it's scary.
There was kind of a good era of, like, the mid-80s when we got a lot of those Gremlins. I mean, we always dance around with putting American Werewolf on there. And with Landis, that movie was kind of funny. There was a lot of humor to it and a lot of kind of passive aggressive from the undead friend that gets mauled throughout the rest of the movie. Like, yeah, I wish you would just die, because then I wouldn't have to be kind of in this state of limbo. But, you know, when those are done well, they end up being absolute classics, like Gremlins is, like American Werewolf is. So, I mean, if you can do that and not just be one-dimensional, I guess, then it makes the movie that much better.
Yeah, but I mean, this started off, because this was 84. 86, you got Critters. 85, you got Ghoulies. Oh, so, I mean, this started your, let's get a bunch of little monsters to...
And there's another one even worse than Ghoulies that I think the climax is in, like, a...
Troll was 86, which was similar.
Yeah, I guess. I can't remember what it was, but it was awful. Worse than Ghoulies. But yeah, I think you're right. There were kind of the knockoffs, I guess, like trying to recapture what made Gremlins. And they could never, you know, the knockoff versions, they were exactly what they were. They were cheap versions, and at no point. I mean, I do like Critters. I will admit that.
I enjoy Critters. Ghoulies, though, the best. Ghoulies has the best
cover
and tagline for a movie. It's just a ghoulie popping out of a toilet, and it just says, "They'll get you in the end." That's brilliant. If the movie were that brilliant, it's not.
Yeah, it sets the bar pretty high, and it fails to deliver. I would say that's probably being generous about the Ghoulies.
So that was my number one. You did your number one.
I did my number one was Monster Squad, yeah.
Did you have any honorable mentions?
You know, when I said Dog Soldiers is my favorite werewolf movie of all time, like, that's a load of crap. Anybody that knows me knows that that's not true. It's not even approaching true. My favorite werewolf movie of all time is Teen Wolf. But I had trouble trying to put that on here.
That's a monster movie.
Yeah.
If you're counting werewolves as monsters, yeah, which they are.
Sure, it is. All that werewolf wanted to do was just... play basketball.
Because you do tend to lean
and beat
towards
the dragons.
That's I hit that point in my thinking where it's like, okay, get out of horror. There are movies that aren't horror,
right,
that have monsters in them. And Little Monsters came to mind, but yeah. I didn't like that movie that much.
Yeah, it was okay.
But one of my honorable mentions that did come to me, Labyrinth.
Yeah.
A lot of monsters in
that
movie.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not a horror movie, but.
No, a lot of monsters.
Yeah.
David Bowie's Monster Bulge.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was one of my honorable mentions.
Do you have any other ones?
That was your only one?
I mean, like, Jaws, I guess that could be a monster movie.
See, I meant to mention that I eliminated that. I didn't do any, like, real animals, because Jaws.
Cujo.
Jaws, Cujo, Man's Best Friend.
Sure. Yeah, the other one.
Pops up on a lot of lists. So, I just went with Freak of Nature kind of monster.
Like, would, not that. like, what was that, Eight-Legged Freaks, the David Arquette one? Like, would that have not made your list because they were just
I didn't consider anything ants, like that because that the William Shatner one would have came to mind first. And it did cross my mind, but I didn't put it on there. What was it called, Spiders or something?
Yeah.
I just avoided animals because I figure anything I think we could do a later list, like favorite killer animal movies,
yeah.
I tend to try not to do. But
that's not like we – I mean, how many times have you had Gremlins on a list? How many times have I had Monster Squad on a list? We don't really.
Yeah. One of my honorable mentions I really left off because I thought for sure it'd be in your top five. The Fly. He's a
You're
monster.
You're talking about the original one, right? Of course.
I was talking Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, I figured. He is a monster. I think to try and break the alien thing, I got stuck doing the Universal stuff, and it was all going to build to putting Monster Squad. So I really didn't have a lot that I was considering outside of the box. It was all, they were all very, very focused. Like, I have to pick a vampire movie. I toyed with putting Underworld on there because I do like the first Underworld, and that could have been werewolf or vampire.
I like that a lot, the first Underworld, actually.
But yeah, that didn't make it. Immediately, I thought of a lot of like the B movies from the 60s, and you know, I would love to have put The Blob on here, but that was an alien.
I thought about that. Yeah. I put The Fly, Nightbreed. That one was almost. I had trouble leaving that on my top five just because that's a different kind of monster movie. Like that's from the monster perspective. They just want to live their existence, and that's such a weird movie. And Clive Barker wanted that to be like the Star Wars of monster movies, and you can kind of see that that's the idea. It doesn't necessarily come across that way. But you could see, like, oh, if there was a little bit more freedom here, they could build into a TV show or multiple movies.
Not a lot of demons on our list.
No, there weren't. Because even in my honorable mentions, I had The Relic. I was so disappointed by that movie, but I think there's still a place in my heart. For some reason, I remember being so excited for that movie and then not being super into it. I have a Guillermo del Toro who...
Kronos?
Pacific Rim... He's the inspiration for this. Guillermo del Toro double feature, Pan's Labyrinth. Mm. Those are monsters in there. And Mimic.
Yeah.
Mimic it spawned a bunch of straight to DVD sequels, but the first one, it's a legit horror movie. I mean, just a what was it? They spliced a praying mantis and I forget what the other insect was, but that one, it's a legit horror movie.
Adrian Brody screwed it.
That's a different movie. Yeah, that's Spice. Monsters by Gareth Edwards from a few years ago. And one that almost made my list, Splinter. It's a weird one. It was a low budget, starred Paolo Costanzo, and he's in a convenience store when it's getting robbed. And then this monster attacks outside, and it just attaches itself to humans and becomes this gross monsters type thing. And it's another one of those that's in one spot. It's got some cool stuff to it. It was talked up really highly to me before I saw it and didn't really live up to the hype, but revisiting it later without those expectations, it's a pretty solid monster movie.
The first time I saw that was on the Sci-Fi Channel, which is, it's rough to try and watch that movie because, I mean, it's very graphic.
It's very graphic. It's pretty brutal at times. So,
but it is really good, and even watching it on the Sci-Fi Channel, I was like, okay, I'll have to actually watch this movie and take a look at it. This, I think this list is a good thought starter for other lists.
There's
Monsters
a bunch.
Is very, very broad. I mean, we could easily have done, I think, five werewolf movies, or we could have done five demon movies if we really put our minds to it. You know, Troll Hunter didn't make either of our lists.
I almost had it, but I didn't. Like, it was close. Like, it really was, but...
It's such a broad genre to only pick five is kind of weird, but whereas, you know, if we had taken... I don't know if we'd do a separate list on trolls and...
Because neither of us even have Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Or Monsters vs. Aliens, which those are two good... I mean, they're fun, they're good, but it was a fun list. I mean, there's a lot to think about. And there are a lot of sublists you could do from this.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, that's what I did. I made four sublists that were all my top and then just kind of rolled them all together. But Yeah, I mean, I think it worked. Just sitting here kind of thinking of also-rans off the top of my head, honorable mentions, was I had a much easier time doing it now than I did to try and not think of an Alien movie.
And that's what's fun, is me and Ryan could easily, for these lists, put our heads together and try to get... Because once he'll mention stuff that makes me think of stuff I hadn't thought of, but yeah. But we don't, because we like our list to be surprises to each other, even when we know
as
what our number
possible.
Ones are going to be. But I think that's enough talk for Monsters for the week. In our discussion episodes, before we leave, we try to give you a focused watch this with a theme. So this watch this is a movie starring someone from the cast of Monster. Ryan, tell him what to watch.
I will. It's from 2009. It was a movie that I knew nothing about. I just happened to kind of stumble across it on Netflix. It's called Afterlife, starring Christina Ricci from Monster, Liam Neeson, and Justin Long when he was still kind of like...
Yeah, okay. I know what the movie is now.
Yeah. It's kind of a nondescript, but if you see it, you know exactly the movie that I'm talking about. I'm not spoiling anything when I say Christina Ricci dies pretty early on in the movie. Liam Neeson is a mortician.
He's into it.
Yeah, he's definitely into it. And he's kind of got the ability to maybe bring people back from the dead. And that's about all I'll say about it. But it's kind of a neat movie. I mean, there were a couple Christina Ricci movies that I could have put on, that I maybe could have put on my other list. Cursed, the werewolf movie. But
yeah, I would hope you wouldn't.
I didn't. Though I do like Pacey quite a bit. No Pacey in Afterlife, but it does have Liam Neeson and Christina Ricci and Justin Long, who's, you know, pretty okay in this movie. But it's worth checking out. I mean, it was streaming for the longest time on Netflix. You may be able to kind of peek on there. It may still be up. There's a dot in the middle, after period life. I don't quite get that, but, you know.
I went to the other star of Monster, Charlize Theron, and I decided to go all the way back to 1996 to her first credited role, 2 Days in the Valley. Just a crime movie about a bunch of people and their stories intersect. It's a fun movie, directed by John Hertzfeld, Danny Aiello, Jeff Daniels, Terry Hatcher, and a young Charlize Theron.
Very much early 90s with that cast. What year was it?
96.
96. All right. Early, mid-90s. I'll give you that.
So that is our discussion episode for this week. Next week, I think we're watching Insidious, maybe?
Yeah, I think it is. The Conjuring comes out.
The Conjuring comes out, yeah. So we're going to watch Insidious.
Dave's going to get angry.
That should be fun, because that movie makes me so angry.
He's going to get a red face. He's going to spit all over the place, and I'm just going to laugh.
If you didn't listen to our news episode earlier this week, which you probably didn't, we do a news episode early in the week. We talk news and trailers. Check it out, because we may be doing a format change here sooner than later. To where those will no
get
longer
get them while
exist.
They last. They're going to become a collector's item.
Until then, you can find us, moviesonup.com. Email us, touch base with us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, on Twitter @moviesonup. We're going to try to get more active on both of those, because we are miserable at Facebook and Twitter. I'm trying.
You
can find me at Dave Becella on Twitter. Check out my other show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's at ericanddave.com, Eric with a K. Listen to us on iTunes, on Stitcher. Let us know what you think. Leave us a review. Send us an email, constructive criticism, feedback, whatever you want to do. We like to hear from you. So until then,
keep it up.